Praise the Lord. Good to be in the Lord's house tonight.
I already said that, but I mean it. And the longer I'm here, the more I'm liking it. Amen. And, you know, I think sometimes we just rush the Lord too much, don't we? And God been so kind, let us have a Friday night in the house of God. And I'm so thankful to be here. I'm nervous. I've been nervous really all day. I love preaching to young people. And I'm thankful for that. I don't take that lightly, that you let me come and preach tonight. So I've been nervous about that. And then I'm nervous because Dr. Jarvis is right here in front of me. And I just feel like he's got a red pen back here. I'm about to get graded. And I had to get my wife to check my outline, make sure I was doctrinal and expositional. And make sure it was right. And help us, Lord. And love Brother Jarvis. He's a dear friend. And then I'm nervous too, because I got a cramp in my toe driving over here. Now if you don't know nothing about that, you're just too young. But I'm gonna tell you, it's gonna hit you one day. I tried to hold it in there and not let on, but I was trying to work my shoe. You can't drive. And anyway, I was in forevermore foul shape. And I'm nervous because I'm worried it'll happen while I'm preaching. So if I get to dancing around, just find out if it's in the Holy Ghost or not. And we'll trust the Lord that's done pass. Amen right there. And I love this church. And love you, Pastor. I've said that last night, but I mean that. I'm thanking God for friends in the ministry. And there's so many friends in the ministry we have here tonight. Our pastor says this often, we're not competitors. We're co-laborers together. And I need you, and we need each other. And we're just going to keep agging each other on and encouraging one another. When we preachers get together, you know, and we try not to discourage each other, but sometimes we do. Say amen right there. You know, some people you can't tell them how bad you got it, because you know they're going to top it. Yeah, amen goes right there. But I'm glad this is my crowd tonight, and I'm thankful to be here, and I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I was just coming over here thinking we're just a little ways away. I don't know who I was going, but camp's around the corner. Revival Camp. As Brother Rackley says, youth camp, you know, youth camp. And I can't wait for that. But you know what? God might not give us camp this year. I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to dance, but we could be in glory by the time camp rolls around. So I don't want to stand before Him thinking I waited on something. I want to get something from God now. He's just that big to do something like that, isn't He? I'm very grateful. And I mentioned already, thank you to our people that come over tonight with us and to be in church family. Thank you for coming. And nobody came as far as, where's Daniel King? Daniel, wave at everybody. Daniel King flew in from Guam. So if anybody been here, had to come in further than Guam, you win. But I think he probably wins the farthest distance. And coming in, so we're thankful for that. All right, the book of 1 Samuel tonight, 1 Samuel chapter number 17 this evening. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and I want to just kind of, while you're turning there, you already know. You know the text of 1 Samuel 17. And you know this is David and Goliath. You're familiar with that. And I think when you're familiar with something, I said this recently, that when you're familiar with a passage, you ought to thank God that scriptures are familiar to you. And you ought to thank God that you know something about the Word of God. And how many of you tonight you know pretty much the story of David and Goliath? Just wave at me, all right, get a little bit of circulation. You know that. But listen to me, and I'm being honest when I say this. What I'm finding out, and this is to us preachers, don't shy away from those familiar texts. And I had everybody, and most everybody raised their hand, but what I'm finding out is really the young people coming along today, they're not as familiar with these stories as the generations before us. See, the generations before us didn't have internet. They didn't have They didn't have YouTube. I know some of you are thinking they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have as many distractions. And so a lot of times they spent their time a little more time in the Word of God. And so I don't say that as a rebuke. I'm just saying we need to make sure that we do familiarize our young people, our churches and converts with these scriptures that we are so familiar with. And I pray that we'll be able to do that tonight. Now I want to read about three verses, and I want to walk us back up to the text. And I pray it'll be a help to you tonight. I mean that. Boy, I want help from God tonight. I want something from God. I want help from Him, and I hope that you do too. And if you'll do that, you'll leave here getting some help. Amen. Now, I know we're going to eat. I haven't eaten since breakfast and been kind of snacked here and there, so I'm looking forward to eating. And I know Miss Jenny been up cooking, slaving all day long, and so we're looking forward. I know she's over sweating now. Amen. So we're going to get in on it. All right? I want you to read about three verses with me. 1 Samuel 17, verse 38. Drop all the way over to verse number 38. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38. The Bible says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. And when he had even in a scrip and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." Now again, I realize the familiarity of our text. When I dive into this chapter, and I'm not going to preach all of it, but I want to just bring us up. We know that this chapter begins with a giant that has come against the people of God. Brother Michael, they are going to view, they're going to see a giant in the front of them. And that giant seemingly has them really stopped in their tracks. But their biggest problem is not really the giant they see, it's the invisible giant of intimidation. There are many of you tonight that God could really do something with your life, and you want to be used by God. God's trying to work in your heart, but you're letting a giant of intimidation keep you from doing what you know God desires you to do. And so the giant steps out, and then through that process, God is going to send a shepherd boy. He's going to come by. He's going to check on his brethren, and he's going to deal with some of those things. And when he comes to check on his brethren, David gets word. And when he's down there, he doesn't just come to bring the goods, but he is drafted into this battle. You never know just when you're going to have to do something for God. You never know when opportunity is going to knock and that door is going to be open. You see, you don't know when or how God's going to use you. And I'll say it again just a little bit. But my responsibility is to be sure I'm ready when God uses. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you ready to be used by God? Amen. I'm going to settle in. I'm going to get where we're going. If God's looking for somebody tonight that's just in their Bible and they're involved and they're engaged, and are you ready? Can God use you tonight to do anything that God desires to do? And so David shows up on the battlefield. Now everybody spends their time telling David why he shouldn't be there. They tell him why you can't defeat the giant, why you don't need to be fighting the giant. And you're going to find out real quick that when you get ready to do something for God, you're going to find critics are going to pop up out of everywhere. Right. Amen. Brother Jarvis, they're going to pop up and they'll say, well, you're too little or you're too young or you can't do this or you don't have that. And they're going to do all of that. But I'm telling you, God is real good at doing something great with something small. And so David, he's questioning, his brothers are against him. Saul is really looking at him like again. And so what David does, David is going to rehearse in verse number 33 down to verse 37. I can't preach. I'm just setting or just trying to set it where we're going. And Brother Cameron, he rehearses how God, Brother Mark, had already delivered him from a lion and a bear.
The only thing we need there is to add a tiger. We'll have a good song. Lions and tigers and bears. Amen. Now get a hold of this. God, when they looked at David, they said, now, wait a minute now. I know you're looking at me, and you don't feel like I could get anything done, but I'm going to tell you this. This Goliath, this ain't going to be the first time I fought something big. So now, Miss Ash, he has a track record, and where God had delivered him from the lion and God delivered him from the bear, and now David is saying, listen, let me go fight him. Let me get out there. Give me my turn. Praise God. David had the kind of attitude, if I can't do nothing else, I'll go out there and aggravate him real good. There's some of you kids got the gift of aggravation. That's your spiritual gift right there. Say amen right there. And so everybody said, "Why?" And so he goes out, and this is where I want to dive into our text. David said, "Now listen to me. God already has delivered me one time, and I know that God can deliver me again." Brother Paul, what he's saying is this. He's saying, okay, when I look back at what God did before, that lets me know that God can do it again. And I'm glad that I have in my life, I've got stories and accounts of what God has done that lets me know if God did it before, thank God, God can do it again. Young people, you ought to keep track in your life, and you ought to just try and see how big God is, and have you a little piece of paper and a little pen, and keep up every time God meets your needs, and every time God provides for you, and every time God does something great in your life, and every time God does that, it lets you know if God did it before, then God can do it again. But now we're at a new battle. Are you listening? This ain't the lion. This ain't the bear. This is Goliath. Now listen to me. Past victories will get you to the battle, but past victories will not win the battle. Amen. And so God now, he has allowed everything to get impossible. Everything is turned upside down just to get the shepherd boy in front of this giant. So here they are. So now, you know, just because you had victory yesterday, if you're going to have victory today, you got to fight for victory today. Amen. Little faith, I'm telling you, if God gave you victory yesterday, and that's what, but if you want victory today, you're going to have to fight to have victory today. If you overcame your flesh yesterday, you ought to thank God. God helped me do right. I overcame my flesh. But you know this, when you got up this morning, Brother Heath, our flesh was ready to battle again. Especially if you had to travel on I-85. Somebody say amen right there. You say, well, I've conquered my flesh. I want to ride with you during amen. That's right. You fought those battles, but now we're fighting again. Watch this. So look down, if you will, in verse number 37. Luke, ready? In verse number 37, I noticed that Saul attempts to arm David. Watch it now. And the Bible said in verse 37, and said, moreover, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion. This is David speaking, out of the paw of the bear. He would deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And look what Saul said. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. Did you get that? So here Saul is. Saul, listen to me. Saul knew what it was like to have the touch of God on him. If anybody knew that David needed God to overcome that giant, I believe that's one of the reasons why, Brother Heath, why Saul wouldn't go. He didn't have God on him in chapter 17 like he did before. I'll rip this down today. The only thing worse than not having the power of God on you is losing the touch of God. The Lord gave me today, and I have a great fear of failing, not because of instruction or know-how, but I have a fear of failing without power. C- Come here now. This is youth meeting, whoever, but I'm telling young people, you ought to beg God. Don't just be sad at, thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm going to heaven. Brother Stephen, thank God my name's written down. Thank God. But I'm telling you, you ought to want more of God. You ought to beg God to fill you. You ought to beg God to put His touch on you. You ought to beg for a freshness of the power of God. I know this, my talent ain't going to be able to do it. My abilities will run dry. All of me will come to the end of myself. But I'm telling you, there is a power from God, and God can give you victory, and God can give you joy, and God can use your life. If you just tap into the power source, you'd be amazed at what God could do with you. I'm going to say that again. Boy, that's helping me. Miss Ashley, it's not the, and I can fail. I have failed. I will fail. But it's not because I don't know how. It's because I put too much confidence in me. I put confidence in my mind. I put confidence in my, I'm telling you, I might let me down, but thank God, Jesus has never let me down. I can trust Jesus. I can put confidence in Jesus. I can turn to Jesus. He knows what I need. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Young people, happy day in your life when that Bible talks about the supplication of God. That's not just for your mama. That's not just for your daddy. That's not just for your grandparents. That's not just for your pastor. It means God can meet your needs. He will meet your needs. He will be your all if you'll let God do that. So here's what Saul says, okay? Let me arm him. Let me. And really, are you ready? So Saul himself didn't even trust that armor. In verse number 38, and Saul armed David with his armor, put a helmet of brass on his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. I'll say this quickly. Listen now. Saul didn't even believe what happened. Everybody believes in something. Come on now. It's not about what you believe in. It's about who you believe in. Come on now. You might believe you condescended from a monkey. And I've been with some of y'all at youth camp. Amen. You might believe that, you know, one day we're going to get, you know, taken out of here by eight little green. You can believe what you want to, but you're going to find out real quick when the battle comes and the tests come and the giants come, it does matter in who you have believed in. Oh, come on now. I know in whom I believed in. I believe in the great I am. I believe in the first and the last. I believe in the Alpha and the Omega. He's never failed me. He's never let me down. He's never led me astray. My faith is safe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Got to hurry, so Saul attempts to harm him. And then I find that David refused that weaponry. All right, verse 39, the weaponry refused. And David, Brother Heath, is he writing a bunch of red notes back? I'm not getting in trouble, am I? Okay. Verse 39, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had, that word essay means he refused to go, he hesitated. And so David took them off, and he really gave one reason. I hadn't proved them yet. Do we have any hunters in the building tonight? Raise your hand. I'm a professional hunter. Listen, you know we're in 2023 when there's as many girls raising their hands as boys are. Somebody help me right there. And I'm not against the girls hunting. I'm just saying, oh, Lord, have mercy. Brother Stephen, can I use you for just about 1 second? I ain't going to embarrass you, but could you stand up one for just 1 second? Girls, can I tell you what you're looking for? You see how he come? You see them's work britches right there, them's work boots. You see that right there? That right there means he's been out working today. And unless you want to be living like Sanford and Son, you might better be looking for an old boy dressed like this right here. Thank you, Brother Stephen. Somebody help me right there. Am I okay? Not in an outline, but that's in the inline, all right? And you know this, you hunters, you're not going to go hunting until you... I'm the only person that went hunting for three. Brother Justin took me hunting 3 times, and I never shot a rifle till we had target practice at the end of the third. I don't know what would have happened if the big one would have come out. I just had to throw it at him, praise God. David said, now wait a minute, I can't go to work, I can't go, I have not, he said, I don't know what they're made of, I hadn't spent any time with it, I hadn't been on the battlefield with it, I'm not going out here with something that is not proven. Somebody help me right there. And could I say this? I realize this 2023, but there are people today that are trading what's tested and what's proven, and they're wanting something new and something fun and something colorful and something popular. But I'm telling you, thank God for the old time word. Amen. Can I give you some good advice tonight? Listen, young people, you just stay with a Bible that's never left you or anybody else empty. You hear what I said? If it don't read like your grandma's Bible, it probably ain't a Bible. Somebody help me. Amen. You stay with a Bible that's never left you empty. You stay with a church that feeds and loves your family. You stay with the preaching that challenges and feeds your soul. You stay with songs and music that worship the Lord. Are you listening? You stay with the old time way. It's been proven. It's been shown right up. Don't you go on the battlefield with something new or you will get killed by the enemy. Amen. I know what I realize, and there's always that pull for something popular, and I realize, but there are a dime a dozen, and there's all this new music and this new age, and they're trying to pull you, and they're trying to get you to leave your church, and they're trying to get you. I'm telling you, you just stay put where God planted you, and you watch God bless your life. Amen. I thought about this. Can I take you? Listen, you just stay with that Sunday school class that's been teaching you real good Bible principles. You know what you ought to do when Sunday morning rolls around? You ought to be early and get to your Sunday school class. And when he gets ready to get started, you jump up and you testify before class even gets going good. Amen. Amen. Listen, you stay with the pastor that's not bowing to modernism. Hey, amen. Our pastor isn't here tonight. He wanted to be here. He's doing a little bit of sickness and trying to get ready for Sunday. And I thank God for my pastor. I thank God my pastor believes and lives in the old time way. He ain't changing his standard. He ain't changing his calling for nobody. He can't be bought, can't be paid off. He's not preaching for popularity. I say thank God there's still some men that believe in the old time way. Amen. And you need that. Come here now. Listen to me. And what's going to happen is, I'm telling you, there's this draw of popularity. And listen, I come from a generation where we preachers was a bunch of nerds. Come on now. I'm just telling you, we weren't trying to be the coolest. We weren't trying to be the most fashionable. I mean, we were just labeled. We didn't have a following. We didn't have We just got well. I thank God for some men who blazed the trail. You don't need a new Bible. You don't need a new song book. You don't need a new youth group. You don't need a new church. You just stay what you got and just go with God. Amen. Amen. But Alfred Willis said, I'm dancing with the one I come with. Are you listening? David said, I can't do it. I'm not going there. Praise God, you stay with the scriptural standards and convictions. You said, Brother Alls, I ain't got none. Well, let your pastor give you some till you get some of your own. Amen. 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 I mean, just say, I know where we are. I know what day it is. And the devil will get you looking at the cool church. He'll get you looking at the fun church. He'll get your eyes looking down there. And what you don't realize, when the battles come and the storm comes and the problems come, that howling fleeth, that church will be founded. But you stay where God planted you, and God will bless your life. Amen. I mean, what we need is some young people that's got an old-fashioned conviction of stickability. I mean, you ain't even got your license good yet, and you already made up in your mind, by the grace of God, you go with Jesus and you stand with the church regardless of what anybody else does. Watch it. Thirdly, not only do you find the weaponry refused, but I want you to look for just a little bit, and I'll be done, at the weaponry that David used. Now, what did he use? And so he's getting ready to go out. And I know me, because I'm not a man of great faith. I'd have been wanting all the armor and the bullets and the back. I'd have wanted it all, amen. But when David goes out, David, now you got to remember that God use many different things in the Scripture. But God's going to use some simple things to get the job done. Remember now, God, Brother Caleb, has allowed all of this to get to a point where, are you ready? Where the only thing can happen is God give the victory and God give the glory. Young people, the greatest thing you'll ever do is that God uses your life to give Him the glory. Now watch, let me give you a few things. Watch this. So, verse number 40 quickly, you ready? I notice in verse 40, the Bible said, then, and he, David, took his staff, I want my staff, his staff in his hand, and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling. So he's got a staff, he's got a shepherd bag, he's got a scrip. Just help me right here. You know what that word scrip's talking about? That scrip's talking about a lunchbox. What about that? Now, I promise you, David was a Baptist. If he's going to go fight, he's taking some lunch with him, amen. Staff, shepherd bag, scrip, sling. I mean, these simple things. Can I say something right here? What God's trying to say is, you use what you have if you're going to serve God. Come here, this ain't real deep, but help me. If you will not serve God with what you do have, you ain't going to serve God what you don't have. I'm watching my son play the guitar tonight, and I'm watching these other folks playing the guitars and all kind of instruments, and they over here playing the piano, and then Macy sits down so effortlessly, and she's doing this, she's balancing her checkbook, playing the piano. I mean, just making everything look so easy. I wanted to throw a songbook at her. Somebody say amen right there. But here's the truth. Here's what you ready. And many times we say, well, I wish I could do that. But really, if you're not using what you had to serve God with, you're probably not going to serve God what you don't have. Amen. See, young people, your life, right? God is looking for you. God's watching you because God is molding you. And God, you ready? God don't have to use you, but God wants to use you. Can I say another word about blooming where you planted? Listen, I'm gonna give you another. Ready? If you can't serve God where you are, you probably won't serve God where you ain't. That probably ain't good English, but that's right there. Brother Mark, if me and you can't just lock arms in there and serve God together at the first, we at the First Baptist. See, when I say First Baptist, I got to get my necktie straight. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, we at the First Baptist. And Brother Mark, but the truth of it is, if we can't serve God from there, we'll never be able to look over here and say, I wish I went to that church. I wish I was in that. No, if I'm not going to serve God where I'm at, I'm probably not going to serve God where I'm not. Amen. Young people, you ought to just get happy with where God planted you. How long has it been since you thank God for your church? How long has it been since you thank God for your preacher? How long has it been since you thank God for your choir leader? How long since you thank God for your Sunday school teacher? How long since you thank God for your youth? I mean, just realize God has been good to you. Because when you're not content, you're always looking over to that other side. If you're not careful, the devil tonight is looking for the young people who are allured by everything on the other side. So what does he do? So he's got, here's my message, here's my thought. I'm about done. We're going to go eat in just a minute, but watch it. So in this text, we know that the active things, what God used in the text, God's going to use David, and God's going to use... Well, he picks up five smooth stones. The Bible gives us the process, if I could say it that way, or the pattern of these smooth stones. First of all, notice in verse number 40, I want you to notice the stones in the brook. The Bible said, in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. That when those stones are in the water, they're being submerged in water. While they're being submerged in water, that water is providing the preparation to make it a smooth stone so that when it comes time to be used, that stone will get the purpose done that it's been designed for. I thought about this. When it's in the brook, you know what happens? What's happening to it? It's being cleansed. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me. God don't want you to come to church tonight and get cleaner. God wants you to get clean. No, I need all mom and dad to help me out right here now. There's a difference in your room being clean and cleaner. A lot of times, you can go wad up your clothes and your dirty socks and throw them underneath the bed, and it can be seemingly cleaner. Oh, Lord, I might better have an altar call right there, amen. We done blowed the cover off the sin in the church, amen. And that room might be cleaner, but you know it ain't clean. God don't want me to get cleaner. God wants you to be clean. That water is cleansed. It's used for cleansing in the brook. You ready? It's being saturated. And what's happening is that water gets around, it's touching every area of that little stone. Can I give you this? When you read the Word, when you hear the Word, when you study the Word of God, you are saturating your life in the very thing that God wants to put in you to help you fight the good fight of faith. It won't be the fuzzy feelings that get you through. Come here now. It won't be the newest song sometimes that'll get you through. It won't be the plethora of Facebook friends that get you through. But you've got to get the Word of God in you. The Word will keep you clean. The Word will keep you holy. The Word will keep you going. Get it in you so God can pull it out of you in those times of need. Thought about when they're in the brook, it's being cleansed and saturated. And that water is placing it in the right position. And then you're ready to what's happening in that brook. That water is smoothing out that stone. Oh, come here now. As that water begins to run and it feels that resistance, it doesn't leave. The water presses up against that resistance. And the water of the Word of God and the water of the Spirit of God, Brother Heath, in my life, God continues running that water over my life. You know why? Because I got some rough patches and some rough spots that need to be knocked off. Watch this now. I lose my temper. I know y'all don't get mad. I know, Luke, you don't ever get mad, do you? Say amen right there. You don't stay quiet long enough to get mad. Say amen right there. And God, the Holy Ghost, says, now you shouldn't have acted that way. You know you shouldn't have done that. Yeah. You're at home and mom and daddy says, go take the trash out, and you have to break away from your video game marathon. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Hit reset and do it again. Yeah. All right? I just... And you know what you do? You do it. But when you're doing it, you're, I don't know what I have to do. I can hear it now. I can hear that. Macy never has to do this. Now listen to me now. And you get a pattern of doing that. And it'll happen for long. The Holy Ghost try to get you to do something. You'll say, well, I wonder why I got to be. Why I got to go to visitation. Why I got to go to you. What you do, and then what the water and the Word of God does, and the Spirit of God does, it knocks that. Oh, come here now. It knocks them rough edges, and it knocks that childishness out of me. I know. Listen. I know that at 17, you're 10-foot tall, bulletproof, and you literally have all of the answers.
That's right. Yeah. Preach, brother. Come on.
But you know what? That Word of God comes along.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God begins to work. That's why you need to be in your Bible. Do you hear me? Young people, listen to me. Brother Jarvis, I've made jokes about that, but if I'm wrong, Brother Jarvis, correct. Probably, I would say over 90% of your problems in your Christian life are going to be fixed if you'll stay in your Bible.
Amen.
See, Holy Ghost, I wonder how long you've been. This is Friday night. Maybe you've been in church all week. Maybe you've already been in a half a dozen youth meetings. And every time you get in a youth meeting, the Holy Ghost comes back to that same. You know why God does that? Because God wants to use you.
Amen.
And you're His, and He's not going to let you alone until you let the water and the Spirit of God knock out. I'm going to tell you, there are some things that are going to be tough to give up and get out, but I promise you, you'll never regret that you did it. Natalia, I'm 41 years young.
Amen.
Thank you, my dear brother.
I wasn't watching my young people because when I say that, their reaction depresses me. I'm going to tell you, I had plans and I had things I thought I was going to do. And I was working my life for those plans and all of those things only to find out for God to hit me right here between the eyes and say, son, that's not what your purpose is. You don't need that, and you don't need that, and you don't chase that. And I'm telling you, I have never, it was hard, and it was a struggle to give some things up that I really wanted. But I'm telling you, looking back now, I don't regret one thing I ever gave up. Hey, man. I look back now. Hey, listen. Are you ready? I'm going to help because I know some of you think this way. The boys like the girls and the girls like the boys, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Somebody help me right there. And I know it consumes about 1,000% of your world at times and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes I just have to say, I had enough of it. No more talk about boys and girls in the youth group. That lasts about 2 minutes and then we're back on it. But if I hadn't let God knock some rough edges off, I might have missed what God had for me in Wheezy. And I might have married an old ugly girl I stuck with. Somebody help me right there. Come here now. What you don't really, I'm telling you, it submerges. It continues to do that until the time comes. But it's in the brook. Watch it now. He picks it up. Bible said, out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag. Now think about this. These five smooth stones are in the bag and they're waiting to be used. If the brook was a place of preparation, the bag is a place of patience. Anybody need any help with patience tonight? Oh, man, I would kill a meeting right there to preach on patience. And really, are you ready? So they're placed close to David, close to the shepherd, until he is going to reach out and use the stone. Listen to me, young people. You know what God does for you? God puts you in a place to keep you safe and reserved under the master's use. That home God gave you is a place where God's got you. A place of preparation and a place of patience. The church God puts you in, just daily serving God, just being busy about the Father's business. Come here. I know you don't realize, but learn how to serve. Get involved in your church. Your pastor needs you. Your pastor's wife. I mean, just get involved and do what you can until God gets ready to use you like He wants to. I wrote this down today. I wrote this down. I was thinking about this. Listen to me, you have to be patient when you feel like you're more usable than you really are. The Lord reminded me of this week, Brother Jarvis. Brother Heath, this is what the Lord reminded me of yesterday. It's not my responsibility to tell the shepherd when and where and how to use me. It's my responsibility to be ready. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Yeah. Caleb, it's not your responsibility to tell the shepherd what to do with your life. It's your responsibility to be ready to be used by him. Amen. Amen. Let me give you this. Watch it. So those stones are in the brook. They're in the bag. And then I'll be done. They are now. They come on the battlefield. This process. This, oh my, think about where this stone come from, the one that's getting ready to do. Look at verse number 49. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it. Praise God, I believe somebody right there might have had a little Spartanburg County in them right there, maybe. Slang it, praise God. I just thought about this. Somebody can look at me about half cross-eyed right here. You realize in that next verses, you know what happens? David and Goliath, they dialogue. They go back and forth. You ready? This is real deep right here. Stone never said a word. Just stayed silent. You'd be amazed at what God could do with you, what God could teach you sometimes if you'll be quiet. I don't know about y'all, my flesh don't like that, and I'm pretty sure you're probably. But you know, we got all the answers, and we want to tell God what to do. But you'd be amazed at what God do if you'll quit doing the talking and you'll start doing the listening. It's a fact. Come here now. You can't learn. You can't listen and talk at the same time. Now, we like to talk, don't we? We got some of them in our youth group. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, I don't know how their poor parents survive. They tell me, bro, I'm telling you now. I mean, they can talk paint off the wall, praise God. I know that's real deep, but sometimes you're going to have to quit telling God all your plans and telling God all this stuff and just find you somewhere. And I'm trying to help you now. Put your phone down, put everything down, turn everything off, log off, disconnect, and just sit and listen for a while. You tell what's going to help some of you guys be a good husband one day? Marriage material right here. If you won't talk so much, and you'll listen a little bit. Yeah. I should have got a good hearty amen from the ladies right there. I don't know what happened, but. So watch it now. So, on the battlefield, a place of performance, David reaches in, and he pulls out one stone. Look at what the stone got to do. You think about it. He's on the brook. He's in the bag. Now this one stone gets pulled out. And that's the stone, amen, that got pulled out that got to hit Goliath in the head. Praise God. My goodness. Now think about this for just a moment. Look at how far David, the shepherd, brought that one stone. Just a nobody, just no. A stone that we'd have never mentioned or talked about. But one day the shepherd reached down and the shepherd picked it up. Oh, I think I can use that one. Now I can't use him right now, but I'm going to save him for the right time. He puts that stone down and he travels down into that valley where he's going to face a giant. And he reaches in. Come here now. I read behind one writer, might have been Dr. Jarvis, read behind one writer said this. Said that it's highly possible that some of the oil that David was anointed with. Now, according to where you come from, it's either oil, or Earl. I don't matter, whatever you call it. Said it's possible that some of the oil may have still been on that bag when he reached his hand in there. He reaches in and he pulls that stone out. And he rears back and the shepherd uses that one stone. Look at how far. You know what you'll do one day? You know what's going to happen in your life one day? I am telling you, you are going to have a bona fide fit when you look back one day at your life, at where God brought you from and what God has let you do. I'm not adding to Scripture. But look at that. Look at that stone. Looking at back at them other stones. Watch me fly, boys. Watch me fly. I mean, your imagination probably ain't like mine, but I saw it. Me and Brother Mark, we on the same level. Ain't that right, Brother Mark? Watch me fly. Their day hadn't come yet. I know we know all that preaching about the other giants and those things that were going to come about and all that. But I was thinking this tonight, and I'm through preaching. I'm looking around tonight. I'm looking around. And I wonder where in this section is there a stone getting ready? And God's fixing to put his hand on it. And there's a giant that's going to have to be slain so that your church can continue thriving and having victory. And God's looking. It's up. There he is. There she is. I wonder where that stone is over here. I'm looking around in this section tonight. I wonder where the stone is that God's getting ready to reach down. Brother Jarvis, you remember when he reached down and got you?
Hey.
Brother, you remember when he reached down and got you? And can you believe he lets us do this?
Amen.
For him.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He's looking around. Where's he at? Where's she at? Where's my stone at? There's a giant out there that's got people intimidated and trapped. Where's the stone at? I can put my hand on. I'm over here and I'm looking. I wonder where in this crowd tonight. I wonder where in this crowd is a stone. It's been getting smooth. And you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know how he's going to do it. But you've just been letting God work some things in, work some things out. I wonder what stones God's getting ready to reach down and put his hand on. There's a giant out there calling, he's calling your youth group out. What about this? There's a giant out there calling your pastor out. There's a giant out there saying, nope, Monday rolls around, everything will be normal. Everything, we'll get that crowd. Because I'm telling you, preacher, you know this. God's been working. I know that it's been fine. We ain't talked a bit. And he's hoping. Boy, I hope that when Monday rolls around, we forget about the meeting, we go back to normalcy. And that giant's out there, I wonder who is God going to put his hand on to slay a giant. It just might be. And when it was all done, and I'm through right here, nobody said, man, what a great rock. What a great stone. What great technique. Look at how that, look at the color of that. Nobody said that. Look at that. Know what they said? What a God. Amen. That could take something so little and so simple and do something so great. Amen. What a God that could take us so little, so simple and do something so great. Everything God does is great. He said, well, God ain't using me like he's using them. If God's using you, it's great. And thank him for what he's doing. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Where you at? Where you at? Who's God going to use? Who can God use? Who in this crowd can God use? Who in this crowd is desperate for God to put his hand on your life and use you for something great? Oh my, let him do it. Let him do it. Musicians are coming and they're going to get a song ready however the Lord leads there. Trust Brother Rochester will be lining that up. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Thank you for responding. Don't wait. Come to the altar tonight and give God your all. Come give everything to God. Everything you can think of, surrendered on the altar. And let God know anything He wants you to take out of your life. You let him know you are siding with him. And you're ready to let it go. Let it go so God can use you. While she plays, you mind the Lord tonight. Father, have your way now. Help us not just to have God in us, but have God on us. Help us, Lord. No telling what you'll do tonight. Just no telling what you'll do from here. But I do beg you to do it. Do what we can't. Do what's bigger than us and beyond us. I love you, Lord. Have your way now. Please have your way. Help somebody surrender. There's a pastor's right-hand man that's about to be birthed tonight. There's a young lady that's going to sing with the touch of God on her, going to be birthed tonight. Please, Lord, do it, Jesus. I want to thank you for all your goodness in Jesus' name. You mind God tonight, you pray. Keep coming, keep moving. Let him help your heart tonight. That's it. Guys, we need you. Your church needs you. We need a group of young men that are just unashamed of Jesus, unashamed to be used, unashamed to worship, unashamed to stand when their pastor preaches, unashamed to be identified with that pastor, unashamed to be identified with the church, unashamed to be identified with you. We don't just want you to get it. We need you to get a hold of that. Oh, you're needed. You're needed. No telling what God's going to do with you. No telling. Amen. Some of you, I've known you for a long time. I've known you since you just about come into as a teenager these years. I'm excited about what God's going to do with you. I'm excited about that. Keep giving it to him. Pastor, you come. Thank you for listening tonight.